if there were no laws. Think about nature. Do we not depend upon nature following law to enable us to live? How is it that we are able to plan for tomorrow? If tomorrow is, then we know that tomorrow shall be a certain way. We know exactly when the sun will rise and exactly when it will set. And that's because in Genesis chapter 8, the Bible tells us that God has promised that these laws shall always be, at least until the Lord returns. So that we can know that nature will always operate the same way. After the flood, God spoke to Noah in Genesis 8:22 and said, "While the earth remains, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, winter and summer, and day and night shall not cease." Therefore, it's a law. Now, what would happen in nature if all these laws ceased to be? How would we function if one year summer and winter changed places? And the next year, they changed places again. What if one year all seed had to be dried for an entire year before being planted? But just before you go to plant it, suddenly the laws of nature change again. And now the requirement is that all seed has to be soaked in water for an entire month. It would surely make life not only difficult, eventually life would just be impossible. What about society? Do we not depend upon society following law to enable us to live? Witness the current chaos, especially in the city of New Orleans after this hurricane, where criminals are just running loose with impunity. How do we know that we can go out on the road and enjoy relative safety? It is because 1 Peter chapter 2 teaches that God Himself gave us the government, which gives us laws not to hurt us, though that might be our temptation to think that, but rather to help us and to make life better. So in 1 Peter 2:13-14, even speaking of the evil Roman government, Peter said, "Therefore, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man, for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to governors as to those who are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of those who do good." Can you imagine what life would be like if today we were all to drive on the left side of the road and go on red and stop on green? And then tomorrow it's back to what we now have. Drive on the right side, stop on red, and go on green. It would be crazy. It'd be chaotic. It would be very dangerous. Is Christianity different? If there is no law except to love one another, then it would be important to confess the lordship of Jesus Christ. And is it not possible for a person to love God and to love his neighbor without believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Well, yes, the Jews do it all the time. However, those Jews who refuse to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord are lost until they come to that belief. What would be our reaction if God said that today, well, come to think of it, you don't need to accept the true identity of Jesus Christ? But then the next day, he changed his mind again. The point is, the law of salvation is just that. It is a law. Because God has said, or determined, that when one set of actions take place, another set of reactions will indeed take place. We can count on it. There is natural law in the spiritual world. The same laws that operate in the natural world also operate in the spiritual world. This is why Jesus gave us the parables. He did not show laws that are similar. He showed us laws that are identical. What is true in this world, as far as the laws of nature, for example, are also true with the laws of the Spirit or in the spiritual world. Consider, for example, the parable of the sower in Luke chapter 8. Jesus illustrated a sower sowing seed on four different kinds of soils. In each case, something different happens. Of course, on one soil, the seed didn't even have a chance to germinate because the birds came and ate the seed. But on the other three soils, germination took place. Because the kind of soils, they took in the seed and then they were able to determine what kind of plant or quality of plant was the result. Starting then in verse 11, Jesus says, now the parable is this. Jesus was not giving a lesson in agriculture or gardening, which they already knew about. But rather, he was saying, now here is something you know. You can test this. This is a law. But I want to tell you something. It is also a law in the Spirit. And then he goes on to explain that the seed that was sown is the Word of God. And the different soils are the different people who hear the Word of God and respond to it differently. And here's his point. Even as soil and seed are joined together and a certain quality of plant results, so a human heart and the Word of God are joined together and a certain quality of Christian results. The law is the same, except one manifests itself in the natural world and the other in the spiritual world. And if there is no law in Christ, we could not count on that process. The other parables are this way also. There is a law in the natural world that helps us to see the same law in the spiritual world. But if there's no law in Christ or no law in the spiritual world, then the parables make no sense. Is not the spiritual world consistent? We can go so far as to say this. The natural world, the laws of the natural world, are actually reflecting the laws of the spiritual world rather than the other way around. The natural world and its laws are only temporary. The spiritual world and its laws are permanent. They were here before the natural, and they'll be here after the natural is gone. The natural world is like the spiritual world, except that one is in the flesh and the other is in the spirit. The natural world illustrates the spiritual world. The parables of Christ and hundreds of illustrations in the Old and New Testaments use the things of this world, including natural laws, to help us see spiritual realities. Let me give you a couple of examples in addition to what I've already said. The law of biogenesis. The law of biogenesis. In the natural world, this is the law that says life comes from life. Life generates. That's it. Bio, life, genesis. You know, like the book of beginnings. The life generates life. This is why evolution is impossible. Because it cannot get over two huge impossibilities. Number one, the Big Bang, which alleges that something came from nothing. And then number two, that life came from non-life. Let us assume for a moment that the Big Bang actually happened. That before that astronomical blast, nothing existed, and then nothingness exploded, creating the material universe. In time, everything cools down. The planets form. What do we have then at that point? Sterile rocks and dirt. For evolution to have happened, a once-in-an-eternity miracle had to have taken place, and the sterile rocks and dirt had to create life from an environment that was sterile, that was void of life. But this is absolutely impossible. That is spontaneous generation, which Louis Pasteur proved back in the 19th century, is an impossibility. Life only and always comes from life. However, is this not also true in the spiritual world? No one is alive in the spirit unless that life is received from one who has life. Or in this case, we'll say, who is the life. It is an impossibility that someone could be made alive in the spirit without receiving that life from someone else. Jesus showed this in his discussion with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, where he was speaking about being born again. Jesus shows here that the same law that gives life in the natural world also gives life in the spiritual world. Listen to what is a familiar text. John 3, verses 5 and 6. When Jesus answered Nicodemus and said this, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Now watch this. "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." New life in the flesh happens through birth. New life in the Spirit happens through birth. There's no way of getting around the first one, and therefore there's no way of getting around the second one. Both of these laws are unchangeable. We can be alive in the Spirit because there is first the Spirit of God from whom we receive life. 1 John chapter 5 also teaches spiritual biogenesis, that life comes from life. And that's just the way that it is. 1 John 5, verse 12. Listen to John's matter-of-fact language. "He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life." If you don't have the Son of God, you don't have life. If you have the Son of God, you have life. And that's because life only and always comes from life. Even as natural spontaneous generation did not happen, so spiritual spontaneous generation cannot happen. We only have spiritual life from the Son of God. Our natural bodies do not so evolve that suddenly we can turn it into spiritual life. Nor can I work myself up into an emotional frenzy and create spiritual life. Nor can it be argued that we as humans will just keep on improving to the point where we eventually have life in the Spirit. That's like saying that a rock could just keep on improving itself to the point where it finally turns into life. It just doesn't happen. Life cannot happen without the Creator of life giving that life. Another law, the law of deterioration. What happens in a garden if you do not take care of it? What happens to your house if you don't take care of it? What happens to your car if you don't take care of it? Well, I told you last week what happened to one of my cars when I didn't take care of it. Is there not a law of deterioration or degeneration that sets in? What happens when the soul is neglected? If you're not sure, just read the newspaper, open up a news magazine, turn on the news. Watch a Christian who neglects meditating on Scripture, who forsakes worshiping with the saints. There's not suddenly where everything breaks down, but there will be a gradual deterioration of the spirit or the soul. Even as the garden, house, and car do not improve with neglect, neither does the soul. I cannot improve my soul by means of neglect. Listen to Hebrews chapter 3, which teaches that diligence must be given to remain strong spiritually, or we will deteriorate spiritually. Hebrews 3, beginning at verse 12, says, "Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end." You see, it is natural to deteriorate, to fall apart, and to die. You know, for a while in life, when we come into this world, we're growing and we're beating that law of deterioration. And then eventually, you know, we go over the hill, which I thought was at 30. And my dad says, no, when you get up there, there's another hill to get over. And there was. And now I can see another one ahead of me. It gets harder to get up that hill. Life is really nothing more than a temporary suspension of the natural law of deterioration. Veins want to deteriorate, but we pump life into a body, and so for a while, it suspends that law. But take away what is needed for life, and decay sets in, culminating in death. This is true of the natural world and the spiritual world. There are many more laws upon which I could comment, but the time would just fail us for me to talk about the law of growth, the law of death, the law of kind. And there are many more that show Christianity and the Spirit are full of laws. For without them, we would have no hope of anything. Therefore, to be successful, we have to work with the laws of the spiritual world. Even as we have to work with the laws of nature to be able to live in harmony with the world. We should learn to see literally everything in this life as a counterpart to something in the Spirit. As I told you last week, those in my adult class, this happens in the Gospel according to John over and over again. If you haven't read John yet after my encouragement last week, I hope that you will do so soon. Read John and see how Jesus does that. He takes almost anything of this world and shows it as a counterpart to really what is in the Spirit, what He really wants us to be looking at. In Galatians chapter 6, the Bible again refers to a law that is identical in both the spiritual and natural worlds. And he who ignores it does so to his own peril, both in the flesh and in the spirit. Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8. Here's what Paul said. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. You know that. You know how that works on the farm or in your garden. Well, but watch what he says now. He applies it to the Spirit. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap eternal life. Well, the law is you reap what you sow. This is an absolute truth in agriculture. However, Paul is arguing that that same absolute law is true in the spiritual world. Some people will never accept these truths or see the parallel between the two. And 1 Corinthians chapter 2 tells us why. Paul brings us up. In verse 14, he said, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." In other words, the natural man, he doesn't receive these things of the Spirit. They're foolishness to him, because in order to see those things, he has to be spiritually discerning, and he's not. And so he thinks that's foolish. They do not see law in the Spirit or in Christ because their minds are not in the spiritual realm, according to Paul. Thus they affirm things of which they do not know the consequences. They cannot see how denying law in Christ or the parallel between the natural world and the spiritual world brings on chaos. And that brings me down to the very last thing that I want to mention tonight, where God is really wanting us to understand the law of salvation and the law of condemnation. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and has been baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned." There it is, laid out just as plain as possible. If you do believe in Jesus and you are baptized, he says you're going to be saved. That's just the law. It works that way. He's not going to change it. You don't have to doubt or be afraid or be hopeless. On the other hand, he also said, if you don't believe, you're condemned. That's just the way it is. That's the law. But of course, we can switch sides there if we so desire. It's up to us. The decision is in my heart. What do I want? Can we pray for you, brother or sister? If there's something we can do, please come forward right now as we stand and sing.